Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast. The fireworks are going off in the studio. This is a huge, huge episode for all of us, especially the man in the middle, George Beamish, coming off winning a world indoor title. We have a world champion in our midst. George, how are you feeling?
Thanks, Morg. Feeling pretty good. It's been a surreal couple of days. It starts to sink in, and then someone says world champion and just makes no sense. Yeah. That's when I'm like, what? That's ridiculous.
You did have the classic surprise George look when you crossed the line. And then I think there has been, like, I guess it was technically an upset. But the more that I, it's so easy to say this in retrospect, the more that I look at the race and the way it played out, I'm like, there's no way George wasn't going to win that.
Yeah, that's what I was.
You know what I mean?
I was thinking that too. I mean, we talked about it like when we were doing a preview of the World Indoor Champs. I mean, Morgan and I both agreed that if it's the type of race we think it's going to be, we think George is going to be in a pretty sweet spot to take the title. And, well, we feel pretty good about our predictions with that, I think, Morgs.
Yeah, we'll talk about your whole experience in this episode, but let's just jump straight to that moment. That, like, 400 to go. Indoors is weird because the bell lap is only 200 to go. 400 to go is not the same urgency sometimes that you see in an outdoor race. But take us through that last 400, because when I was watching it, even with 400 to go, it's still one of those classic George races where you're like, he's a little bit far back. But then, like, I mean, you have that massive kick and you seemed very much so in control. And, I'll take us through that.
Yeah, I loved Clicker's message. And then afterwards, it's like, just when you thought this time he was too far back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, people are going to react with, like, two to go because it's 400 meters. But I think, like, there's something about hearing the bell that, like, that's when people start. So I feel like it just does start. It seems to go off later indoors for sure. Like, it always feels like two laps is further to go. And, yeah, 400 to go. I remember seeing, I think, three to go and thinking, like, there was quite a few people still ahead of me, but they weren't getting any further away. And I think kind of the same at 400, like, just thinking, all right, the front's like, it's still attainable. It's not like they're not getting any further away. And, you know, I just like keep going for a bit longer. That was kind of the whole race. Like, just keep it like, don't let it get out of hand, like the gap. And yeah, I think that was like two laps to go. And then, you know, I think just, I mean, obviously we just made the right little moves in the last 6 to 400 meters and then to 200 to go, like getting around the people that I needed to get around. And then, you know, finding a little bit of space on the back straight, with a lap to go or half a lap to go. And then, yeah, I was thinking around that last bend that after watching Yard the night before, I was like, all right, Yard pulled off a medal in fifth place. Like, I think I can do the same here. Like, any medal. I don't give a shit which one it is. I was literally thinking, I was like, I think I could sneak any medal at this point, like round that last bend. And then just had to go wide once instead of going inside.
Yeah. You had to go real wide. Yeah,
real wide.
Sorry.
And yeah, just was ridiculous when they just kept getting closer. And I mean, you just have so much momentum behind you when, like, in the last lap, once you get past one or two guys, you go past one and you go past two, and it's like, all right, one more, like, let's just get the next guy. And then it's definitely like, definitely keeps you moving forward, and you get good momentum behind you. And yeah, just pulled level with like 5 or 10 to go. And then, you know, got far enough ahead to know that I had it, which was pretty crazy. And to, yeah, definitely enjoyed that. Those last few meters, it was pretty wild.
Yeah, and the few meters after, the
yeah, and the meters afterwards,
continued to jog, and I think someone clocked you in that. I think you ran a sub 4 mile. Still, I think someone did in our Discord said like you. I think you did like a 3:57 mile. Does that sound right?
I guess that sounds possible. I probably went like...
Because you only had to run 20 seconds.
Maybe I went like 20 or 21 seconds for the next 100.
Yeah, and sub 4 mile.
And it was in lane 6, so maybe that's like 109 meters.
But
yeah, that was my cool down. I honestly, when I got to like the top of the bend, like I had to look back a couple of times to make sure, like after PTSD of getting the laps wrong. And there's no like, there's no tape at a world champs. So there's no like, there's nothing to actually tell you. And I had to like, look back and be like, is that actually over? Like, just making sure no one was like still going. Like, that's just how, I feel like that's where my mind was. I was in such shock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't imagine. No, a nice little lap around. I felt like the crowd was incredible there, and just wanted to pay my respects on the way around. They showed their appreciation, and yeah, it was incredible to do it in Glasgow.
Yeah. What's it like finding the flag after that? Do you know, is it like is your team manager has the flag and you just have to find them, or do they have them right for you at they bring them right to you?
I went through that phase of looking for it, because when I got back, Cole and Hobbs were already like mid-photo shoot.
Well, they got like probably 100 US.
Yeah, they got US ones just fucking lining the track. And I was like, oh, like, where do I get one of those? And then someone from the crowd came down with one, but it was like, thank you to whoever that was, if you're a Coffee Club listener. And I like kind of grabbed that one, but then it was just a little, I don't know, the blue wasn't quite right. It was just like a little bit janky, but then like an official had one. So maybe they just have all of them ready. I don't know.
That would make sense.
They seem to have one ready to go.
Yeah.
It would be fair for that, because I imagine some like federations probably wouldn't like necessarily remember to pack them. Sometimes you think like, okay, I'm getting gear. Gotta like they like not thinking flags all the time.
I'd feel so really bad if you, nice.
Yeah,
if no one had yours.
If you didn't like, imagine if you were a federation, like a small country, and you win or you get a medal and you don't have a flag, like it'd be nice if like World Athletics could have that covered and be like, yeah, we got all the flags for every country.
Yeah.
Is that the finish line?
I'm sure someone has one. I know someone was the first, I think they're 60 meter winner. I think that was the first medal.
Alfred?
Yeah. I think that was the first medal. St. Lucia? I think that was their first medal of any kind, so. But she had a flag ready to go.
Okay, yeah. So I'm hoping that World Athletics maybe had those already prepped and ready.
They got it covered.
Yeah.
So how did you feel kicking down? Because the thing is, you're racing against like some of the other best 1500 meter runners in the world, but some of them that you know very well. And one of those is Cole Hocker, who is also known for his...
Wait, who is it?
Cole Hocker, sorry. Who is known for his finishing kick. Did you feel bad at all passing at the line? Because like, you just knew how annoyed he was going to be.
Yeah.
He was very annoyed in his post-race interview. He definitely was. Holy shit. Yeah,
sorry, Cole. Not to do this to you again.
Yeah. He was not happy in his post-race interview.
No, I know that we're going to have, like, we've already had some good last lap battles, and I'm sure we'll have...
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll have... I'm sure we'll have a lot more in our careers, and he got me a few weeks ago at Millrose, and I have a lot of respect for him as a racer, and I think we're actually really similar runners, I think, in terms of like where our strength is at. Obviously at Millrose, like, you know, like running literally the exact same time and having a, you know, similar level of last 150, 200. So I don't think it felt like any... Like, it wasn't like I was thinking this is better because I'm out kicking Cole, but
I think it was... if you felt bad.
Well, yeah, well, better or bad. I think it was more like, I mean, shit, my ideal situation obviously would have been, you know, for me and Mario to be sharing.
Yeah, OEC.
Sharing the podium. But I think having Cole and Hobbs up there is probably the next best scenario.
Yeah.
Just, love those guys. It's like... competitors, and Hobbs is a great dude.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool to share a podium with those guys.
It was a very, from our point of view, our little place in the world, USA based, it was crazy just to see how many people that we know well, like just crushing it and getting the medals. I don't know if it's ever been an experience like this before, where it's just in all the distance events, pretty much. Like, we, no, not that like we know them personally, but they're very close to us in terms of they came through the NCAA at the same time as us, or we've just like seen them growing up racing, like Hobbs and Holcocker, for example. It was just, it was so wild to see how well represented like US based athletes were.
The NCAA had like the NCAA in particular. Crazy, like between like Josh, Bryce, me, Cole, those guys, Nicky, like
ESP.
Yeah, ESP.
Yeah, it's something about running indoor NCAAs, I think, might help in competing at the world stage.
I think Josh and L were actually, they might have been mile champs the same
2018,
year.
2018, they were.
And I was the following year after Josh. And Cole was the following year after
that,
me.
Yeah. There you go, look at that.
No, there's definitely something to it, because I think probably a lot of people watching these races would have had this similar experience where indoors is just more tactical than outdoors. And so I think it slightly comes down to tactics more than just pure talent, because the reality is, I mean, everyone that made the final of the 1500 can run a 3:36 or whatever, you know, the winning time was, like, they technically can, but it's a question of being the first one across the line, and that just takes so much like skill. And I really noticed that, and this is true of all the events, especially I think the 800 and the 1500 is, and this is what you do very well, George, is it's such a question of not wasting energy and just not making moves that go nowhere, because you see just people making these moves around the outside when it's tactical, going wide. And if you're on the outside on these tight turns, you just get gassed and then you just lose it all. And it definitely happened a little bit in the 1500 to, I don't know, maybe Nordass, I guess.
he was probably the biggest component of that, or like
the person who maybe like
got trapped into that
and ended
thinking
up back in fifth, I think.
Yeah, he was gassed by the end, I think. I think that's a big, I mean, everyone was talking about, like, I feel like the main chat beforehand was that there were 14 guys in it on a tiny indoor track, and how that was going to be like a huge part of the race. And I think as well, like, it's tactical, like, more because it's indoors, but also because it's the start of March and not when everyone's in like crazy shape in August and everyone's running 3:29.
And just the individuals that were in the race as well.
Yeah, a lot of tactical runners.
You didn't have Ollie or Yucca or Stewie.
Hey, definitely, like, the one thing I think I took away from watching this championships particularly was it's like a really good indication of what to like learn from for the next, like, when in the next, the rest of the season. Because, like, I feel like when you're competing against those kind of guys, it's really, really good to make mistakes in that situation. Because I think when you look forward to racing outdoors, you have so much more space, a lot more competitors. But, like, making correct decisions in that type of environment and bad decisions in that type of environment, we're talking about world championships, it's such a good learning curve moving forward to the Olympics and to, obviously, the World Running Championships, Road Running Championships in San Diego. Those are the big ones. But, like, those type of races, like, it's really good to have this early, because it's a good, like, it's like rugby. When you have a test match or an exhibition or whatever, it's like a
pre-season
good
game.
Pre-season game. It's good to learn, like, where you were at, make mistakes, or you do really well. You emphasize what you really did well and you work on what you didn't do very well. And obviously, George, you absolutely crushed it. But then I'm sure a lot of the athletes in there, like Holcocker, he was talking about it in his post-race interview. He thought he should have won, but he didn't win. But it's interesting to see, like, he'll probably take a lot of that in and learn to better either position himself or, like, work on certain aspect of his training to, like, really perform at the trials as well as the Olympics. So, like, I think that was the one thing I took away from World Indoors, is that even though it was 14 guys, all those guys that raced in that field would have gotten something really valuable out of it, and it was pretty awesome to see.
Yeah, I think it's there'll definitely be some people that in the field that wish it went a little faster,
a bit more honest.
But it's crazy to think that, well, like, just for me, I love that, like, the fact that 3:36 is tactical is kind of cool. Like, that's the fastest 1500 I've ever run. It's literally my PR.
Really?
Yeah.
You ever run faster than 3:36?
No, never. That's
and that's your mile time is quicker, but
maybe.
But I'm not
going to. That's in Boston, so let's not.
Yeah, we won't go too much into that. But it's interesting that.
So the fact that that's tactical is, like, pretty cool. Like, tactical, like.
I mean, to be honest, like, Eugene and Budapest, like, there were 3:33 races and they were tactical too.
Yeah, there's really different levels to tactical races now. Because like, 350 is like...
Can be tactical
very
too.
Very different tactical.
Yeah. A different tactical. Yeah.
That was the old tactical. That was a centro tactical.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's what I liked about watching this race. And you know what it made me realize, George, is like, if you were a miler 10 years ago, you'd be winning like every race. Because like when I grew up being pretty into the, like as a viewer, like 2011 to like whatever. I guess I'm still. But that's when I really got into watching it. And the 1500 has always been like one of my top three favorite events. And every 1500 was tactical in some way back then. I mean, not everyone. You had like freaking McLuffy, whatever he was doing at the front. But I'm just thinking like it is crazy now that like these younger generations have grown up and just seen Jakob or whoever it is, because the Kenyans were doing it even before Jakob, just making every race close to a 3:30 race or even quicker. And it's just changed it so much. Whereas back in the day, every race that was a championship race was pretty likely to be a slower race. I mean, that's why there's so many championship records now. And I'm just thinking like, shit, like, I don't know who's beating you in any of those races. Like, that would, you know what I mean? It was like very refreshing to see that. And I was just like,
because we haven't seen that in the 1500 for pretty much as long as we've been pros, we have not seen like a tactical race like that.
Way more of a strength setting, of a strength-based type of race rather than like just tactical kicking races. Yeah. Which
even reflecting on Serbia, 1500, like Teixeira just took that out and ran 3:33 or something like that, which was like quick.
I think Jakob was led the whole thing.
Oh, and then Teixeira came through.
But and then I think they ran 3:32 high.
Yeah,
but that's like 3:32 point indoors is. Like in March is probably the same as those guys.
I think
running.
I ran 3:34 maybe. I think I was like fifth. And I remember running that race and thinking like, I can't move. I can't get around anyone.
It was strung out.
Yeah.
It was strung out.
And then you look at now with the race that you ran, it's like, I can imagine. And it's very, I think it's a very true statement when you say that the crowd would be much more invested and engaged in the race that you were running compared to the Serbia race in the way in which of how there were so many people still in it. And there's so much going on, you didn't know what was going to happen. Like, even here in the commentator.
Well, you're comparing apples and oranges. You are. That's still impressive in a different way.
I think people were enjoying the apples in Glasgow. I think, honestly, that type of race and that type of, like, because coming off Comm Games for me, like, that type of race where you come through and you don't know who's going to win it, I think it's always exciting for a fan to watch. And that was the exciting thing about it, because I think.
The fact that there were so many people still in it.
Yeah, and it just made it more engaging because like you're looking at Hobbs is in great form, Cole's in great form, you're in great form, Nordis is in great. You know, you got all these really, really good guys that can like just come through at any point, but you don't know. It's like you're just watching it unfold. It's exciting.
And it was cool. It wasn't like we went out in 2:10 or something. Like and full credit to Hobbs at freaking 20 years old, like leading an entire.
Yeah, he looked
world
very
final.
Mature.
Yeah. And like split running, I think we came through in like 1:57 or something. That's like
honest.
At least it's not 2:10.
It's not pedestrian.
You know, it's not a jingy race, but
yeah. But, well, I think it's interesting. It's for me to. I think if you can run both those races as best as you can, you're going to be more. Prepared to deal with it. Because, like, who knows? Maybe Jakob's, like, watching Kerr crush all these races and thinking, maybe I'm going to go more tactical this time. Maybe I'm going to look at George Beamish and work on my kick and not lead out races. And
I hope Jingy has a good, like, blindfold response for me.
He just starts railing you.
Yeah. I wonder what his equivalent... he'll probably hate it.
No, I reckon he'll do a nice comment and say, oh, yeah, I loved him on the Coffee Club podcast. Good to see him do well. I'll see him soon or something like that. I think Jingy's a fan.
I haven't heard from him, I'll be honest.
Really? He hasn't followed you on Instagram
The DMs have been quiet. Yeah, I don't
know. He's probably talking to me. He's probably upset that
he's nervous
that he wasn't there to race you.
I have one more world title than Jingy.
Jingy's never won a 1500 meter indoor or outdoor title.
Or outdoor. No world titles.
No, he's only won the 5K.
That's crazy to me.
One more 1500 world title. Is that what I said? Yeah, that's
you
what
have.
I mean.
You have.
It's a good stat.
Yeah, I mean to be honest. Yeah,
you actually have more 1500 meter world titles than a lot of people.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like the majority of people racing these days. Yeah,
but in particular, yeah, but in particular, a very special one to have that over. No, I do agree with you 100%. Shout out to Hobbs Kessler. I think the way he races is amazing. You get caught up in the riffraff in the middle. You just go to the front and make it honest. And I think that's such a good way to do it. And you got rewarded with that bronze medal at the age of 15 or whatever he is.
14, something like that. Yeah.
I don't know. So credit to him. And yeah, I think it was just an awesome. I mean, it was, I'm not going to say like I caught it, but I was like, yeah, George.
We did kind of call it.
Well, we did. I'm not going to say we caught it, but we knew that it's like if you rerun that race and you put even all the best 1500 meter, like, I just don't know who's beating you in the under those. I mean, I guess if you rerun that race a lot of times, like the tactics are what make it. So it can change. Yeah. But I'm just like, who's beating George in a 336, 337, 1500 meter race, you know?
Yeah. Unless you get severely boxed in or something like, yeah, something like that happens. It's just, you just, yeah, don't see it happen.
I did feel like I got pretty fortunate in the spot I found myself in, and like felt like I wasn't, like Cole was saying, he felt like he was in a boxing match, and like, Nordhaus is
fine. He's doing a bit of moving.
Nordhaus said he was, I think he filed like an official complaint or something.
Too.
I don't know. World Athletics for like
putting too many people.
Putting 14 people in it or
Do
something.
We want to talk about Nordhaus's comments.
What'd he say?
He's like Instagram post. He's just the way he's, well, also Gert's comments were very interesting. So maybe we do those first. Mm-hmm. There was an interview from before the race. I saw it, I think, in between the heats and the finals. So I'm not sure if that's like when it was actually filmed, but it was just, Gert is just, he's just so blunt. I'm just like, it'd be crazy to hear your coach talk about you about like in this way. But he was just saying how much Nordhaus lacks confidence and how it's like such an issue for him and how he needs to work on it. And
this is a bronze medalist at the World Championships.
Yeah,
by the way.
He's just saying like, yeah, and he was comparing him to like Jakob, and he's like, yeah, these kids like Jakob, just like my children had so much self belief, and this guy I have to really like, you know, really pump him up for it, and it's like a challenge, and he's not quite ready. Like, he was just saying like he's not ready, and he's like, bro, he's racing the final like tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe say that after the race.
But I mean, I appreciate the honesty. I really do appreciate honesty. But then Nordhaus's comments were, it seems like he wasn't able to, I don't know, come to terms with like the possibility of him getting beaten by like the better man on the day type thing. Almost similar to what some people were saying about Jakob, where he very, very Norwegian.
Has to find the scientific reason for losing.
He's like, the last paragraph of his Instagram post-race was just like, in these races, whoever wins is just whoever has the least lactic going into the last lap. And that wasn't me today. And that's, yeah, which,
yeah,
is just not
it's
true.
It's a shame they didn't do lactate reasons. For college, which, like,
with one lap to go, we could have all taking a quick break,
get the lactate done, and then you can all line up again and go.
Well, then you wouldn't even have to.
You wouldn't have to run the last lap.
Just whoever has the lowest, you have to run. They just give the medal to
I
that
think
guy.
You'd still win, right? You'd probably still win it. You'd probably have like a 1-4 lactate.
I can't wait until they have like constant lactate readers in the future, and then we can get those facts up on the screen.
Sick, actually,
like a heart rate,
like
thing.
The better than heart rate. Yeah,
it would be. See who's different. Lactate spiking.
Yeah, that'd be so interesting.
That'd be really funny.
But yeah, Nordhaus couldn't just say like, I think he was annoyed about how many people were in the race, and he was annoyed at how he ran it, I think, in terms of, yeah, wasting energy moving around. But he couldn't just say like, yeah, I got beat today, you know?
It seems like a lot of the 1500 meter runners aren't doing that anymore. They're just too confident and too in their own heads, where they're just like, they just can't fathom to say, I was beaten by the better guy on the day. Congrats to him. I need to work on this, this, and this. Every interview I was watching was like, oh yeah, like, I only got like 8 hours of sleep, and I didn't have my favorite muesli, so I got beaten today. It's like they're making up these like kind of weave arounds to like protect their egos. It's like sometimes you need to get your ego shattered if you're going to get better.
And that's why you run the race.
And that's like, why you run the race.
Are the race.
Yeah. And you just got to learn from that shit. Like a lot of those best runners, like, I mean, I love bringing up Jake Whitecastle because I think he's a good example of this, but like he was like 10th at Tokyo, won the semi, looked amazing, looked like he was a medal potential, fucking bombed. And he was like, I got to be better. Comes to the next World Championships and does better, learns from his mistakes and puts himself in position to win, and he wins it. Like a guy like that is like actively working on his potential of being the best athlete, whereas...
Easy to root for.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of 1500 meter runners, and I could, maybe there's an interview of me doing this, but I feel like a lot of 1500 meter runners are making these excuses and not just saying like, yeah, I wasn't good enough today. I got to work on being better. Every time I think Cole Cocker's interview was like kind of similar to that, where he's like, yeah, I should have won. It's like, yeah, but you didn't. Like, what can you do now to lead into the Olympics where you can have that potential to win? Like, I liked Hobbs' interview because I feel like he talked about how he felt like even with his mental state kind of not being 100%, he's very proud of what he was able to achieve. Like, that's a really positive outlook of saying, like, I wasn't there mentally. the way I should be or mentally sharp as I should be, but I'm still really proud of how I approached the race, how I executed the race, and I can move forward with that. And like, that's maturity for a guy that's like 14. So, you know, in general, I like those interviews, whereas, yeah, Nordas, like, and Josh, and I don't know if Josh has done interviews where when he's gotten beaten, he's said stuff like that. But I know Jakob has, definitely, with Whiteman and with Kerr. So I feel like that's like a bit of a, I think that's a bit of an Achilles heel for them, because they can't see anything to fix. There's no fixing project. They're this beautiful structure in this museum glass. No one touches it. They're not just scaffolding in like the back of Longmont thinking, is anyone going to fix that piece of shit? Like, come on, you got to work on it. You got to build it. I'm the scaffolding right now. I'm trying to build myself up.
It's an amazing metaphor.
But yeah, like, I think that's an issue with it. And I like the way that Hobbs approached it. But I also think the 1500 right now, like, there's just so many people like protecting their egos because they want to be, you know, I think they have the mindset that Gert's trying to push is like the self-belief.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of nice. I feel like when you're not with a race like that and it's not just a fitness test.
Yeah. You love races like that.
Of course I do.
Stand by that hill.
I mean, you always talk about it. And like Morgan always says, like, you have to still be really fit to be able to kick at the end. Mm. Like, that's how Morgan wins all.
Yeah, you can't just walk in and be like, wins. Oh, if it's a tactical race, I'll be fine if I didn't train hard. It's like, no, you still have to train.
Like, I'm still in the best shape of my life, I would say, easily.
Running like 2 times a week?
Well, that's the thing. Honestly, if that race had been, say, if Hobbs had run 4 seconds quicker, you still probably could have won it.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, we'll see what you're running outdoors if you do more 1500.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That is a question moving forward for you, George. Steeplechase 1500 5K. Are you still thinking about potentially running more 15s and maybe popping into that arena compared to the steeplechase 5K?
I'd love to do a mile or a 15 outdoors.
Yeah.
Not sure if that would necessarily be mean at the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I mean, that didn't qualify me for anything.
No, but I'm thinking, so, like, just like, you're obviously in the best shape of your life. You've shown you can tactically run good 1500s.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see
shorts in your head.
What that look like. Yeah. And
I mean, I have to probably do a time trial to get the time, right?
Just hop in a diamond league.
Hop in a diamond league, sit in.
Just pretend it's tactical. No, but I mean, yeah, you got to be fit to win even a 3:36 race. And like, I put myself in a position I feel like I took some pretty big risks over the last like 4 to 5 months. I mean, you guys are probably wondering, like, through the fall, like, why is George is crazy at the moment? Like, he went from running 5 days a week in like 60 miles to
double the mileage.
Just cheekily like doubled the mileage all through the fall, and kind of had the mindset. I was like, you know, I feel like it's kind of now or never to really take a stab at getting better than mediocre. And
well, you've also been healthy as well for a long period of time, which is, it's a really big positive.
It's a huge part of it. Yeah. I mean, you got to be, to train hard for a long time, like, your body's going to be in a pretty good spot. And I've been like working super hard at that in the last while and put myself in a position to be able to train a lot. And yeah, I mean, the week after Milrose, like, I ran like over 100 miles that week, like 2 weeks out from World Champs. And so, I mean, I'm sure that means I can run faster than 3:36. I don't think, I don't plan on ever running 3:43 like our teammates. Like, that's not something I ever think I'll be able to do. And it's not something I feel like I need to do to feel like I am, like, I've had a successful career or anything. I don't set that kind of benchmark for myself. It's amazing that people can do that. But yeah, I'd love to find out if I could run a little bit faster.
Mm. How fast we can go.
Well, I think just having the opportunity having a world champion title in your name, it's going to help you get opportunities to run diamond leagues where you have that situation where you can put yourself into a little quick, a bit quicker races, and you can make them.
I better do one soon before I get forgotten about.
Press it while it's hot, baby.
I think
it'll be my entry into the race.
Just take your medal with you.
You gotta show this medal off.
We forgot to hold it at the start.
You should be wearing it. Why are you not wearing it right now?
If we're on the YouTube, I brought it down to the studio.
Yeah, check it out. It's shiny.
It is super shiny, and it's heavy.
I really like how it looks. It's like classy. Like it's not. I mean, it's got a bit of a design to it, but it's not like too crazy.
I need to figure out what these little things are on it.
This is a question I have for you guys. You guys seen the Paris medals?
I can't remember what they look like.
I honestly, hot take, I don't think they look very good. Because there's a very cool thing about them, that the medal in the middle is like from the Eiffel Tower. It's a very cool thing, but they're very ugly.
They chopped the piece off the Eiffel Tower?
Did they take the Eiffel Tower down to make them?
Yeah.
Wow,
it's gone.
That's major.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's worth it though.
Most of the swimmers will be wearing them around the neck, the Eiffel Tower. They'll get more French and French and French, or the Australian swimming team is going to be very French.
We'll check them out and then we'll do a live pod, like
a live reaction review.
I can't remember what they look
like. But no, it's a very nice looking medal.
One thing I do just want to emphasize that you just said, which I really like, George, is how much you did put into getting this. It's not like it was just handed to you. You've been the most healthy for the longest time in probably your entire running career, and running the most like consistent, highest volume, crushing workouts for like, I don't know, 2 years, like a long time. Mm-hmm. It's not like it was just like George did say, he, for the last 4 or 5 months in particular, have been like a step up, but it's actually more like literally since you start as a pro, you had an injury early on. And then I'm pretty sure since that your training has been very, very consistent. And then like, that's at the end of the day what it takes. You know, that's like, that's what the difference maker is. I mean, you're blessed with this amazing ability to finish races and to kick, but that doesn't really mean a lot if, you don't put in all this hard work, and you've put in the hard work and got to that position, and then the reward is getting to run that last 100 meters of a race and becoming world champion. So you earned it 100%.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah. So that's what it takes. That's the reality, because we've been there and seen you go through it all, and it's 100%. Very, very impressive to see.
It's very satisfying as teammates to see hard work pay off, because a lot of the time, particularly in our sport, it's very unforgiving. You don't get carried by anyone but yourself, and if you look at a lot of the races, like there's only one winner, and it's very rare that we get to have that reaction or have that moment of somebody winning something. So.
Yeah,
I mean, I remember experiencing it with Joe Klecker when he won the 10K at US, beating Grant. Like, that was an amazing moment because he worked so hard. I remember watching like Alicia like crush it. Like all those, like all the athletes that we have on the team. It's not just like all of a sudden, oh, it's my day today, I'm going to go and do it. It's definitely like a lot of hard work and a lot of races where things don't always go to plan, or things are just coming a bit short, and then all of a sudden you see that pay off, and it's not just. It's very much like a long process of hard work, dedication, and not being able to do the fun things in life. Like,
this is definitely a testament to.
I don't know. Like,
it's pretty fun what we do.
Yeah, it is fun what we do, but we sacrifice a lot, and like you sacrifice a lot, so it's great to see that rewarded.
It's definitely a testament to the system like we've put together here and the team we have, and that's what's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like we always say like. You know, we feel like we've got one of the best, if not the best training group in the world at this kind of level and this distance. And like, I don't know how you guys felt, but I always felt like the team was good enough to produce like a world champion at some point, or an Olympic champion or something. But I always kind of pictured it like that at some point the team was going to produce it, like for someone. Like, it's not like I never really thought it was going to be me.
Yeah.
And then it was.
And then it was.
And then it's like that thing. It's like,
we butcher this.
We butcher it every time.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. You guys know what I'm talking about from when Mario was here. And it's like, you realize that it was you the whole time or something.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's like, he says, like, what do you picture when you see a world champion, Olympic champion? You picture yourself or some shit?
That's not it.
No, that's.
it's Frank Shorter, but it's someone talking to Frank Shorter. And he's like, yeah, I always wondered what the Olympic champions were like. And then I realized it was me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably wish it
was that. I mean, something like, I think people get our drift with it. But yeah. Well, hopefully there's more in the future to come. And it's always great to, it's funny because how did Yard react As a 1500 meter guy, how did he react to that? I'd love to know.
Yeah, I was super pumped actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I gave him a little bit of shit for a second or something. I was like, I asked him what he thought of my color, the color of this one or something. He was like, yeah, fuck, I wanted that one.
But also you winning it over Cole, I think is huge for you.
Yeah.
For actually,
Jared was quite happy with that.
Yeah.
He was happy that they were still like, they both got a global medal at the same time, but they're on the same level.
Best case scenario for Jared. Best case scenario.
I think that is definitely what he was thinking.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that was cool in the lead up to the race? Anything else interesting? Is it all pretty standard? I mean, your semi was just very like taking care of business.
Very textbook.
What was it just like being in Glasgow, being at the World Indoor Meet? I guess you've done it a few times now, so.
It was a lot of fun. It was such a well put together meet. Like the stadium was epic. The crowd was amazing. All the facilities, brand new track.
Team New Zealand was firing.
Team New Zealand had a freaking weekend, man. Yeah, we got a bit of shout those guys out.
Yeah, for a country that doesn't have an indoor track.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
They've done quite well. Even Australia, we did okay. We got a gold medal.
Did we?
Yeah, high jump.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Sorry, yeah, New Zealand and Australia won the high jump.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet, actually.
Our jumps in general, Oceania jumps, even pole vault, we're quite good.
I think it's New Zealand, Australia, I don't know. I was going to make up some fact about like the kangaroos or something.
Yeah, we got the hops, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big shout out to Hamish.
Yeah, Hamish Kerr. Yeah.
Winning the high jump.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast. What crazy stat I was telling Morg yesterday, maybe you might have left by then.
No, you told me.
Me and Hamish were both the same year in high school. And like, so finished high school at the same time in New Zealand. And at the end of, like we finished high school in November, December. And at the last thing of the whole year is like New Zealand nationals basically, so it's the last meet you do for your high school. And in our senior year of high school in 2014, we both won like national senior schools, and then 10 years later we're world champ on the same day.
Pretty cool start.
Yeah,
so the New Zealand prime minister must have been calling you both up and pretty going excited.
Mum just showed me the newspaper today.
Yeah, I wanted to see this.
Oh, it's so bad.
What do you mean?
Guess what the headline was? Not New Zealand newspaper, just like from where I live.
Beamish takes gold, beaming for glory.
First name related, first name pun instead of
gold. George is gold.
Glorious George.
Geordie, no George.
Glorious.
Final
Geordie.
Clue.
Is it Geordie?
Yeah.
The commentator also said Geordie.
I was entered. I like enter in races as Geordie.
Oh, okay.
George on the podcast, but
Geordie.
Wait, you can just choose what name you enter in meets in. I didn't know that. I'm going to change my one up.
And here
I'm
comes
Morgie. I'm going to be Morgie.
Here comes Morgie McDonald.
No, the headline was Geordie Shore.
Geordie Shore,
but spelled like Sure, like Shore. But it was like Geordie Shore. It was
that's
so
shocking.
Bad.
That's
so like.
I don't even know what that means. Like, why is that? Why do we need that reference?
Yeah, it's just, it makes no sense, and it's so dated.
That's not great. That's not great.
Yeah, it's terrible.
There's Geordie so Shore. Much more you can do with that,
right?
Yeah, like if you're gonna go with the G, you got all this gold related. You got a gold mine of G puns.
That's not good. They should have called us up
Beamish
and sorted
powerful.
It out. They should have called us up and sorted it out. We've had a great headline.
Disappointed with that one.
No offense. Ollie's headline has the win over that one.
A legend has been born.
Yeah.
A legend is born.
I wish they didn't do that and they said whore outlast field or something like that. Like something that was like just using my last name and playing with it. But there's so much more that we could have done with that, George. Next time, get them to call me and Morgs. We'll sort it out.
Tom, we'll get Tom. Tom will give it a good headline for the episode.
Yeah,
at least.
Yeah. What if we just? See, that's the thing. If you think about it like that, like with Ollie's one, I just named the episode a legend. Like that's how you know it's good. I just named the episode that. If we name this episode,
Geordie Shore.
People like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, what are you guys doing?
Oh, that would be. Everyone would be like, okay, they've definitely made a mistake here. That's not correct.
That's how you know, like, it's not good.
That's not correct.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, no, I mean, shit, we had a good,
You didn't have luggage for a while.
Yeah. That started out the week, without a bag. Any advice for European travelers? Do not take a bag through Frankfurt. If you go through Frankfurt, take hand luggage or just plan to not have your bag. there. The last time I was in Frankfurt, when I raced in Nice, Bag didn't make it either.
Really?
That place is an absolute shit show.
Man.
It's like, it's, I don't know how big that airport is.
Can you go through Denver to Munich?
You can, but
it's just harder.
You couldn't this week for some reason. I think they have less flights in the winter. Munich's great. Frankfurt to be avoided at all costs. They just like park the fucking plane out on the runway somewhere because there's like no space. They'll just stop the plane and then they'll just send a bus over and then they'll drive you 3 miles down the runway back to the airport. And it's like, no shit, my bag isn't getting on the next flight.
Do you reckon it would have been better to go to Heathrow and then get a train up to Glasgow?
That was an option.
Yeah.
People were just saying because
that might have been worse, maybe, because like Heathrow can be a nightmare.
One flight is ideal when you're traveling with running stuff.
But getting to the train with all the bags and stuff, you know Ritz, like he runs around like a spider in a frying pan. Come on, we're gonna go. He's like jumping and it's like, dude, like there's gonna be like another train in 5 minutes. Like just relax.
It was fun that we went to this cool running store that sold on
stuff. Oh yeah, that was they posted on social media. That was very cool.
They were pretty stoked that the OAC showed up.
They're going to have you guys' posters up now after everything. Mm. We're the reason for this.
That'd be pretty sweet. Got some.
They couldn't have raced without us.
bought some Cloud Surfers, just if anyone's wondering.
You bought them?
We're going to rob this store. We just run in.
They just give it to you. Like, oh yeah, you're an athlete, checks out. We'll just invoice it.
Yeah, steal some running gear from this nice little store.
Swiss Engineering.
And then I just ran the same clothes for like 2 days. Yeah. And then they, right before, actually not pre-meet, the day before pre-meet, we were still going to go to the track because we worked out Sunday and the race wasn't till Friday. So like, there wasn't really time for a real workout, but we also didn't want to just like do nothing for that many days. So Wednesday we were planning on going to the track in the afternoon, the outdoor track. And like, we did like a mile threshold and then one 300 and a couple of 200 or something. And Josette and Yared's bags had turned up right before we got on the bus, but mine were on like a different fucking van or something and didn't arrive. So I was back in my same running clothes and surfers for the track sesh.
Did you buy a pair of spikes?
No. They did sell spikes, but...
So did you do your sprinting in the surfers?
I wore Ritz's fucking echoes. And Ritz's form's so whack these days, and he runs in echoes like to lead.
Pretty much 90% of the time.
Literally until the tread like falls off them. Mm. And so I was just wearing a destroyed pair of echoes for.
Yeah.
And the track, and it was obviously it rained every day because we were in Scotland.
It's Glasgow. Yeah.
And so the track was so slippery. And I was doing this with Mario, and he was like 30 meters in front of me because I couldn't get around the turn because it was so slippery without spikes. So that was not ideal.
Yeah. Do you know a fun fact about Glasgow? It's named after Seb Coe's mum, Gladys.
No way.
Yeah, Glasgow.
What did she do to deserve that honour?
I don't know. Just a fun fact. Glasgow, Seb Coe, named after his mum. Yeah. True fact for you American fans out there.
Wait, what's her name?
Gladys. Glasgow.
Gladys Coe.
How old is she?
107.
what came first, Gladys or Glasgow? I guess Glasgow must have come second.
Well, no, it was a different name back then.
Oh, they changed it.
It was a different name back then.
Did you eat any haggis?
Oh, yeah, good question.
There was, just at the hotel, there was haggis and like black sausage, I think.
Yeah.
I did
good,
not.
Good iron.
Yeah. Guinness?
Good nutrients.
What is?
Wrong country.
But still. Wait, what's Scotch?
Whiskey.
Scotch
is... Tom Walsh was
down
some
the,
of that
down the whiskey.
I passed on the haggis and the scotch.
Did you see
what haggis is? That blood, it's like blood sausage or something, isn't it?
I think it's some sausage like with a lot of good stuff. Yeah. Good,
it's really like
it.
Dark colored. Or is that haggis?
There is. Now you're testing me.
I don't really know.
I think it's like
I'm gonna just.
I think it's a lot of stuff thrown in there that like doesn't sound that appealing.
I had no Scottish food.
Did you see any statues of Josh Kerr or William
Wallace? two Scottish heroes.
I've got what a haggis is. It's a savory pudding containing sheep's pluck, minced with onion, oatmeal.
Okay, what's pluck?
What the hell is pluck?
I don't know. Sweet spices and salt mixed in stock, cooked while traditionally encased in an animal's stomach.
If it's got a name like pluck, you know it's something disgusting because you know that's like,
main,
that's
to change
like
the
marketing.
Name. Yeah.
Main ingredients, sheep's heart, liver, and lungs, and stomach.
Wow.
Yum.
That sounds like that makes you strong.
I mean, that's something that like you'd hear Shelby take or eat. And like,
I did not think you were going to say Shelby there. I thought you were going to say like Josh Carrot, like some Scottish person.
Well, you know, like with the Nando's
stuff.
Yeah, the offal. Like if the Shell Burritos, if she was in Glasgow and she had haggis, maybe more
probably
believable.
Probably put Nandrolone in it.
Yeah, more believable.
Yeah, it's actually that. Probably good you didn't eat it.
Yeah. No, all I... We just went out for coffee every morning. That was our main activity of the day. It was pretty standard for us, I feel like, on any running trip.
What was the coffee spot that you guys would usually hit?
I've told you guys about European Coffee Trip, right? Like the app slash the webpage.
Yeah,
that thing works every time. Delivers the goods.
Yeah.
Also, the Coffee Club Instagram delivers the goods because Tom sent me a recommendation from someone who DM'd the Coffee Club Instagram.
That's all right.
And it was also the top entry on European Coffee Trip. Perfect. So it lined up.
Double certified.
It was called Laboratorio or something.
Lobotomy.
Name as well.
Basically like laboratory.
Triple certified.
And it was just full of New Zealanders and Australians every morning.
That's how it always is. If you guys...
It's always New Zealanders, Australians ordering flat whites at every coffee shop at Worlds. It's so funny.
Little tip for those out there who love coffee that are going to watch at the World Champs, just follow where the Australian...
If you hear the Australian New Zealand accent, they're going to get coffee.
Always at the same coffee shops.
Yeah.
So every time.
So good.
And went there for 3 or 4 days in a row and then ventured out a little bit to one called Spitfire something next to a big old church. That was kind of cool. And then, but highlight was one called Outlier in all caps, which also Lyndon and Kat were at when we arrived.
They're always at the best one.
So,
Lyndon's pretty like, she ranks them.
She's on it.
Yeah.
That one had epic pastries as well.
Yum.
Really good coffee. It was like a good brunch spot as well.
What was the vibe like of like Scottish people? Could you understand their accents? They're very friendly.
I actually thought they were. I thought everyone was super friendly. It was so busy because we were like right next to the train station. So I guess kind of like just the touristy part of Glasgow, I'm guessing. And it was just packed. Like, do you remember the streets in Serbia, dude?
Yeah.
Like around, not a soul
no
to
one
be
out.
Seen.
No one out.
Literally didn't know if anyone lived in that city.
It was.
The people were super friendly there, but
and I could see people. But then when we went out to where we were, there was like no one there.
Not a soul.
Yeah.
So the vibe in Glasgow was good. Lots of people, super friendly. Mostly, I was understanding everyone. All right.
How's your Scottish accent now?
Fuck! I've forgotten. What it sounds like. Yeah, you put me on the spot.
Sorry. Well, I'm just thinking, like, I wonder if Glasgow. You have a better Scottish accent than Josh Kerr right now.
Glasgow. I mean, I like the Scottish accent.
No, I do too. The Scottish and Irish accent, beautiful to listen to. I mean, like, you know, Groundskeeper Willie, one of my heroes, Simpsons. Great Scottish accent.
I feel like the person who's hardest to understand is, like, Gemma Reekie in interviews.
Yeah.
Her Scottish accent is freaking crazy.
Very strong.
I've seen the videos of like the really thick ones and like the really thick Scottish accent is literally impossible to understand.
You have to retune your brain for like a second. Like the first sentence is just like is not English.
Do you reckon that's how Americans hear us when we've like had that Australian and New Zealand accent and we come in? Because I feel like sometimes, particularly in college when I came in, no one could understand a word I said.
I think just a week, Jenna said after, like, because I spent a week with the New Zealand team the whole time.
Yeah.
And Jenna said just like the last day, she's like, we're having a hard time understanding some words.
That's fair.
Which is pretty funny.
When you're back in your environment, you can just let your natural tongue flow.
Let it come back a little bit.
Exactly.
It's always good.
Yeah. What else is Glasgow?
Should we talk about any of the other races?
Oh, the other races?
There were other races.
Oh, okay. What's, I'd love to talk about the 3K.
Yeah, men's and women's.
We had Jared Nugent.
Yeah,
getting the runner-up finish. Wait. Or as On would say, silver place.
Should I say my new nickname for Josh Kerr?
Go for it. I pissed myself laughing on the run today when you mentioned it.
Just like firing off, like going through all the classics. Josh like Kerr. Josh Curry.
Yeah, Josh Curry.
And then this is like a play on one that already exists, but I just said Kermit the Josh. Kermit the Josh.
So good. Morgan said that and I almost fell over. So Kermit the Josh took the dub. Must have been amazing to do that in a home indoor, like world championship.
Also, he just dominated.
He just dominated that race. I think his last 400 was 52.
52.5.
Last 200 was 25.
I think like 25.1.
And then his last 100 was like 12 something. It was just insane how quickly he closed. It was very impressive. I'm sure that Scottish crowd got him.
I mean, it was slow.
Up.
So you can close hard off slow pace.
Oh, 100%. But
he can close harder than anyone. So.
But he put a gap in them, particularly Yared. Like, I was in surprise to see how much of a gap he put on Yared, because that Yared can close. We know that.
But he started in front of Yared and got the jump. I felt like, as opposed to them starting together
and then Yared can kind of go with it.
Yeah. I think that was more why it looked like a bigger gap.
Shout out to Holland Hacker. Amazing run for him too. I think that was a debut for his senior? Because he represented juniors.
He represented Riga. Yeah, Riga.
He represented Riga. Okay, good.
So our first track team.
First track world championships. And man, he looked like a veteran out there. He was
Just shocking. Like, so the men's 3K compared to some, like the women's 3K, which was right next to it. So it was an easy comparison. It was just not as deep. It was more just top heavy and like amazingly heavy at the top.
It was no surprise they made it out to be the Josh versus Yared show, and it was.
Yeah.
With a little bit of a chance of Berega.
Well, we said this after last World Champs outdoors as well. Those Ethiopians, man, they gotta communicate and plan out a little bit more before the race, because their tactics were not great considering they are two, like, the quickest 3K runners in the world. And it's like, even they know how to time trial. Like, they know how to run quick, but both of them, this is Berega and I think Wale, they made moves at certain points in the race, but then they just slowed right back down. And this 3K did not go out that quick, as George said. And so there was a lot of moving around everywhere and like a lot of shuffling, even from I think the top guys, like, were getting shuffled around so much. Like, they were not immune to it. And I was just like, what are these guys doing? Just like, go drop everyone, or like try to drop everyone. And so it was really,
they shot themselves in the foot.
The only way they were going to win. The only way they were going to win is if they ran 7:20 something.
Yeah.
And they just ran 7:24 a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And so it was like just a slow burn at the end, like, until Kerr went to the front and just said, "All right, I'm going to go win this race." And it was very impressive to see Olin come around everyone. I think he got up to maybe like second or third place I don't know if it was on the second last lap.
I think it was with like 3:350 to go.
It's like, dude, he's right there. Like, I thought he was going to go the way around. It was crazy. Yared was kind of, I don't know if Yared was boxed in, but I was surprised he wasn't a little bit more aggressive in terms of, like, because he must have known that Josh Kerr was going to do that. Like, and that's also similar to, like, Yared's not, knows how to run from the front as well. And he's also probably in 7:25-ish shape. Like something like that, you know? And so I'm like, I was a bit surprised, because as George said again, like, Kerr really got a jump on Yared. And if Kerr has a jump on you, it's going to be pretty hard to catch him.
Yep.
In the last 400 of a race.
He's running 52.5. Like, if you're going to catch him, like, what do you have to run? Some
51 or 50? Like,
something quicker than that, which is pretty hard to do. So, but then Yared did rally pretty hard that last 200, and just with kind of a dive at the line, took
the Yared lean.
The silver from Berega. And Berega was bronze. And then who was fourth? Was Wale fourth?
I think it was Wale.
And then Olin fifth. So it was pretty stacked at the front, but Kerr looked, once again,
how did
very
that
good.
Guy get in? How was that guy entered in that race?
Okay, I'm going to defend person, this guy. I'm going to defend this guy.
It's a 12-person final.
You don't know
standard,
his story.
The standard is 7:34, and this guy ran 9:37.
Every country gets a wild card. He should have been told to move out by the officials. I can't believe.
They should have.
Maybe it's so hard because the on the indoor track, it is so chaotic.
A lot of noise too.
But, I mean, I was like, I understand that guy got a lot of hate on social media, but then, I don't know. I can't remember what country he's from, but like, I don't know this guy's story. Like, maybe.
Dude, I want to say Afghanistan.
Representing,
maybe.
Like, it's probably pretty special. I understand it was like, I was cringing every time the field had to pass him and it was super bunched. And people were like running into the back of him, like, that was like, come on, let's not let this happen. But
I feel like of all events to put him in, though, like, you put him in the longest one.
He got overlapped like a lot of times. Kerr gave him like a shoulder. I think the second time they overlapped him, Kerr like literally was like, boom, push him out of the way. So yeah, that wasn't great, but it was a very exciting race, and we're really happy to see Yared Nugent.
Yeah, Nugent get some hardware.
Yeah, come through
fantastic.
For the
CLL. I'm sure that's going to go in his collection. He's going to sell it and buy some more Splatoon merchandise. So if you're interested in buying some memorabilia of Yared Nugent, he'll sell it for a good price and get some Splatoon stuff or some new Pokemon.
Maybe new plushies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the 800 because the 800s were kind of crazy.
Are we just, why don't we do any of the women's races?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Women's 3K.
Because that was like the one of the best, maybe.
Women's 3K was top. Top three event, easily.
Depth-wise, very, very deep.
It was incredible.
The way the race played out was just amazing. There was a bit of like shuffling, but then pretty early on. I always get the names confused. Is it Sagay?
Gudaf Sagay, maybe?
She said, F you guys, I'm the 5K world record holder. I'm going to run quick.
Mm. Yeah.
And quick she did.
She'd go quick.
And it's amazing. Jess Hull.
Just got right on
it. Not afraid.
She's such a gutsy racer.
Just not afraid at all. This field was so deep. The only surprise watching it was actually Laura Muir, who was a little bit off the pace the entire time. And so I didn't listen to any post-race interviews with her. So I'm not sure if there was like something going on, but we've come to know her as someone who is also very.
That is just so fast for her.
Every Olympics,
yeah. Like for that long.
Every Olympics, every World Championships, even Com Games. Every time they go, Laura Muir is right behind them. Always.
In so a 1500.
She has
good 5K times.
Yeah,
as well.
She's done it in longer races in the past. I think maybe, like you said, there might be something here that we don't know about. But maybe. It was a surprise to not see her with Jess, like just going for it.
And
820 is something else, though.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's unreal.
That's wild.
Yeah, and kind of nicely tucked in was Ellie.
ESP.
Pure.
Yeah. And I think there was a sense you could tell, like the tension was rising. You're like, well, if she's there, like at the bell or like with two laps to go, man, she knows how to like run a last lap and win a race. And that is exactly how it played out. And oof, it was crazy to see, and just the storyline for her. We've already talked about it multiple times because she's already had amazing performances. But it was just a couple of days before the 1 year birthday of her son, and it's just like, geez, to be already back better than you ever were before. Yeah. Running 8:20,
unreal,
world champion, yeah,
world champ, and it's just wow. Credit to her, credit to her team, family, coaching, etc.,
and her son.
Character to his son.
Yeah, well done, mate.
They're supporting.
Well done. Good job.
So, yeah, I don't know what else to say, but it was just amazing.
It was pretty incredible.
Honestly, mostly just gutted for Jess to come up short. Yeah. Would have loved she came fourth.
Yeah.
She's been, my
mom. I feel like she really deserved a medal there, but she's going to get one at some point.
My mom was talking to her family a little bit recently, and apparently, like, that's just one of her big goals and dreams, is just to medal at the global stage. Like, she's been really trying to get there. And I tell you what, it's fucking hard, but she's definitely doing the right things because she's getting really close, and hopefully like there's bigger and brighter things down the road where she can snag a championship or a medal moving forward. But she's definitely, her training situation from moving from UTI Track Club to Australia, it seems to be working really well for her because she's crushing it.
Just Hull Elite.
Absolutely crushing. Yeah. So it was awesome to see. So yeah, you want to talk about the eights? Those were some good racing as well.
800s and like indoors, when you think about tactics and everything, like the 1500 with George and like the 3K, the 800 was insane. How aggressive it was!
Do you know what was crazy about this the year? One, is they added a round from Serbia. Like they had to run 3 800s in 3 days this year, and then to get down to a final of only 6 people, like you can.
It was crazy how small the field was for the eight. Like,
and, yeah, it's so small, but still so aggressive.
And yeah, they're still throwing hands.
There's no
hands.
Space for these guys. It was just hilarious seeing, because in the semis, last times champ, Mariano Garcia.
Brum, brum.
Brum, brum. Brum, brum. He in the semis, after watching his semi, if anyone else watched it, you're just like, this guy's going to win. Because he wins a lot of like tactical races. Like he's... That seems to be
very
his forte.
Good racer, yeah.
But then in the final, man, he just got. I think he got a little too.
Turned
he
to a boxing
just wanted,
match.
He wanted to be at the front so bad and control it that him and Robert, the French guy, who's just like the
he's
so
a tank.
Buff,
he's built like
so
a brick.
Buff, they both have the exact same plan of getting to the front, and like their first 100 was so quick, and I think they just gassed themselves. And Bryce Hopple, man, he definitely. Again, what I was saying before with George, where it's like, yeah, you see like whoever can just like conserve and not make mistakes are going to come through. And Bryce Hopple seems like in this 800, he was the one who was able to tactically run at the best, not really make mistakes, have like, I mean, he was running on the outside the whole time, but like that, I think let him kind of avoid a lot of the argy-bargy stuff that can be pretty draining, and then came through for the win, as we've seen him do so many times here in the US. But I believe he medaled at last World Indoor Stage.
I think he was bronze, right?
Yeah.
Definitely a medal.
Yeah. So getting upgraded to gold, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you forget.
He still ran 1:44.
You forget that like he ran at when Donovan Brazier, my new athlete, when he won Doha, Bryce was fourth and was in college. Like Bryce has been like very, very seasoned competitor at that high level.
He's been so consistent.
So consistent. So it's like great to see him get the win. But my athlete will be back and we'll be tearing heads this coming track season.
Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it.
Donovan Blazer.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. The women's 800 was a sick just because they were like running so close to each other. Mm. It's so different from the men's where like the women's were just going for it. I can't remember the Ethiopian who won it, but was it Gemma got silver, right?
Yeah.
Gemma Ricci. Pretty good. After her semi, I also thought she was going to win because she was looking...
She's Scottish too. Like she's got the home crowd advantage.
She was looking good in the semis. Mm. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know if they were saying it wasn't fast enough, or because it was.
To make the final, you had to run I think under 1:59, and then they didn't break two in the final.
Mm.
And then I can't remember the names, but the lady who got third, I think she was like 37 years old.
Really,
she was going crazy afterwards. Like her, she was so happy, and I think it was because like. She was like pretty old for winning your first medal.
Love to see it. Love to fucking see it.
In the 800
Good
meters.
For the sport.
Why have we not covered? Oh, the women's 1500.
Mm.
I can't remember what happened.
It was fast. They ran like 4:01. Hailu?
Ethiopia? Oh, yeah. Mm.
Ethiopia won the 800 and the 1500.
Mm.
She was pretty dominant over the last lap. It was kind of a crazy
race. Oh, no, that was a sick race.
Emily
Mackay came through with 400 to go and just...
She, like, gapped the field for a bit.
Yeah, she had a massive speed up, so that was pretty sick, pretty exciting.
USA 2-3, right?
Yeah, Nikki had a great last lap.
Yeah.
As per usual.
Awesome to see. So good. USA, man.
Did very well.
The distance events.
Mm, in particular, did very well.
Crushing. And, as we said earlier, I think a lot of it does have to do with the NCAA system.
Which Hobbs didn't even go through.
he has done a lot of indoor races, though.
Yeah, he does.
I think that's helped it. But you're right. He hasn't gone through the indoor system.
I think he did one semester at NAU. I'm pretty sure he like lived in the dorms for like
No, really?
Did he actually?
Months. Yeah, but...
Man.
I think just to like have the experience a little bit.
And then he's like, I don't want this experience.
And he's like, all right, I'm going to go back to being a pro again.
Oh, I love it.
The other big kind of storylines was, Femke Bol, world record, 400. And... just making a bunch of money.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
100 grand.
Yeah.
to be honest, though, I'm going to be a stickler about this. If you're the best to ever do it and all you get is 100K compared to other sports, kind of sucks. Like, if you think about some of the best athletes in the world, like being the best ever, they're not getting 100K.
You
they're
know
getting
what they
millions.
Say? Comparison is the thief of joy.
It is the thief of joy, but I am advocating that thief of joy for Femke to make more money because like what she does is pretty incredible and I would hope that in the future World Athletics could compensate an athlete like that because like...
I'm sure she's been compensated.
Yeah, don't
from
worry.
Other,
she makes a lot of money.
From other...
don't
not
worry.
Just
she
World
makes
Athletics.
A lot of money.
Well, the reason why I'm fighting for it because I do want to be her agent and get a bit like 10-15%. But we're not worried about me here.
Out of how much money she's made in the last like 2 years from just the Diamond League and you'll be like, she's doing pretty
she's
well.
She's doing right, yeah.
But of course she deserves it because she shows up every freaking weekend and crushes it.
It is so dope how many races she enters.
Yeah.
She is not
compared to the Americans.
There's some other 400 runner there.
Sydney just doesn't. She competes at that high end like Olympics, World Champs.
She
USA.
Didn't. No, she didn't even. Didn't she pull out of World Champs?
Yeah, I think she had an injury.
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean, that's.
But usually at the top end, she's competing there. But like Femke, she turns up every race, like. It'd be nice to see her and Sydney duke it out because I reckon they'd make each other better. But
that's what hopefully we're going to get to see this year. It's the Olympic year and Femke with her, just the hot streak. Mm. She's got to be like feeling so unbeatable. Yeah. Even though, just a couple of years ago, no one would have ever thought that anyone could compete with Sydney.
Yeah.
So
she's going to run something crazy over hurdles.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For sure.
And then, pretty standard other stuff. The only other thing that really jumped out to me that was pretty funny was just Fred Curley getting on the beef with
was great.
The 4x400 calling out USATF for being political and putting Noah in the 4x4 when I guess he felt like he didn't deserve to be but just wanted to add to Noah Lyle's medal tally.
That is kind of messed up that like the guys who, I guess they qualify and then they like go through the rounds and then they get kicked off the team for the final.
I don't know enough about the sprinting team to know if he actually deserved to be on it or if he didn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And does that mean that Noah gets that prize money?
Yeah.
for the relay because
interesting.
Really, he doesn't need it apparently.
I didn't think about that.
Although we don't even know what he makes.
No, I feel like they give a medal
to the relay
to
pool.
The pool. So I'm sure they split the prize
relay
money.
Medal. They don't split it. It goes to Max Seagull.
Okay.
Yeah, any relay, all that prize money goes to Max Seagull, and then he helps promote USATF. Because so he deserves that pay. Around. Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm happy then with that.
Yeah, it goes to Max Seagull, so it's fine.
It's probably the best.
Yeah, he's a working man.
But yeah, it's pretty ballsy to see someone like in Fred's position calling out USATF.
I do love it though. I love Fred.
Really ballsy. Like they
definitely team Fred still.
Yeah. I'm so team Fred. I love Fred.
They have such a big impact on kind of like his life in some ways. So
yeah.
Just sticking it to the man. So yeah. Freaking amazing. I really, really enjoyed just watching it.
Maybe envious, I think. Which, I really want to be back racing.
Yeah, I would love to be racing, but I wouldn't always say that, but the track meet was just amazing track meet. So many familiar faces, so many amazing performances, and a good broadcast put on.
Yep, BBC, shout out, well done. NBC Gold.
It's on Peacock.
Step up. It's or Peacock or whatever, step up.
I enjoyed the Peacock stream.
Wasn't it?
What BBC stream did you see?
Yeah.
BBC stream?
Wasn't it on
it was online.
It was on Peacock.
It was online. I was using a VPN.
Mm. Nice.
Because my...
No, the BBC stream was
Nana,
good. That's what we were watching at the hotel, obviously. But
I have an in with the BBC broadcast.
What's your in?
I own the BBC. Gus actually has a major shareholder of the BBC. Didn't you guys know that?
That's
where most of our money comes for the product. As you can see, we've got a great production here.
We're industry plans from the BBC.
Gus has majority shares of the BBC.
Gus is actually
in negotiations to do a new season of Downton Abbey. So he's going to be in it as Maggie Smith's Bulldog.
That's a great reference.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So an amazing
World indoor champ.
Amazing few days.
Short track.
And now we have a world champ.
Yeah, it still says indoor.
Does say indoor?
Do you call yourself world indoor champ or world short track?
Yeah, what do you call yourself, George?
This gold thing says indoor.
That's real confusing.
Right?
They got to fix that branding. They got to fix that.
I thought they would go into short track.
I'm so happy it says indoors though, because that would feel really weird if it said
short track.
Yeah, that'd be way more ugly. I feel like indoors.
Yeah, I think indoors is way better.
So, yeah. And also, it just doesn't make sense to call outdoors long track. So. That also sounds really dumb.
It does, yeah.
So there are a bunch of other stuff that did happen in this past week, but I think we're going to kind of gloss it. Maybe we'll save some of it for next week because we've had a nice time talking about World Indoors, taking up a bit of time. Maybe we'll give a little, like the worst, briefest preview of NCAAs because we have had no attention towards it.
Yeah.
Actually, first I'm going to do our bean shout out because I forgot to do that in the beginning because we had... too much other cool stuff to talk about. And this is a really cool one. So these beans come from Northwoods Athletics, who I know some of you super fans out there will know who that is. And I don't know the exact storyline on this beans company, but we do know that this is Ben True, well, Sarah True. Like the letter is, these are on behalf of Alex, but it's from Ben True and the Northwood gang. So I don't know exactly how these got to us, but thank you so much, I think, to Alex for getting them to us, and then Ben True and Sarah True, maybe, for roasting them and sending them out.
Thanks for being true to us.
Very excited to try them out. Northwoods. I follow them on Instagram. They're fun to follow.
Nice.
They do some cool stuff. Makes me want to go train in...
Their runs look freaking sweet.
Where is it? Maine?
Maine.
Vermont?
I think it is Maine. I think you're right. Yeah.
What altitude is that?
Not high enough.
It's the latitude, though.
The latitude's good, though. Yeah. We should talk to Riz about it.
So, yeah, it looks very pretty out there.
Latitude training.
Yeah.
Let's get out there for some latitude.
Good just tell Riz, we're doing some latitude training.
So, NCAA preview. NAU is apparently...
I might have made that up when I said that right before we started recording.
We're just going to hold you to it. NAU is ranked number one, apparently.
So they're going to win everything.
Yeah.
We got big DMR coming in finally. It's like the first time they've had a DMR in living memory, for me at least.
In living memory?
In my living memory. I don't know when the last time we qualified DMR.
Probably never then.
Mm. Big 5K prisons, 3K prisons.
Yeah, I'm just like...
Mile. Dude. Maybe one guy in the mile. Salami in the mile.
I mean, we...
Hope he's done some speed work.
He better be doing some speed work. It's a big Boston race.
We don't even need to talk about like how crazy the times were to get in, but the standard is so high, and we know all these NAU boys are ready to go. We know Kai Robertson, I assume, is doing
Kai Red Robin Robinson
5K. Unfortunately, it seems like Graham. What's his, I forgot his nickname.
Who?
Graham Blanks.
Shooting blanks.
Shooting blanks. Was it shoot? I think it was.
I think it was shooting.
I don't.
Shooting blanks is unfortunately hurt.
Yeah. Is that confirmed? Is that like public knowledge? I guess he's not on the entry list. Maybe I don't.
He's scratched. But yeah. From Maya, apparently he's been cross training up a storm.
Yeah, how does Gibby's training transfer to cross training?
I would imagine it would be brutal. It's like the cross training would be brutal
all day. I don't know.
Just an infinite cross training.
He's literally in the lecture at Harvard, just on an elliptical, just like in the start of the lecture, just
infinite
cross
threshold on the bike.
Yeah. Speaking of in the Maya, pool, shout out to her, on NIL person. That's the correct way to say that.
Yeah, that's probably correct.
So tangentially, teammates, she had an amazing performance at World Indoors, breaking the national record, making the final.
And very cool. There's one thing, George, you have to work on with those, a Kiwi accent.
I'm trying, bro.
Yeah. I keep thinking she's going to sound like a Kiwi when she does her interviews, and then I'm like, oh, that's American. I'm like, George, come on. Get it with the Kiwis. Get that accent going.
But yeah, seeing her come back to compete at the NCAA level will be very interesting.
Mm. Yeah, she's been doing a lot of racing. A lot of traveling. A lot of racing, because she did that crazy DMR mile.
The Milrose,
yeah. Milrose.
So that'd be good. But yeah, I don't really have any...
No hot takes.
I just think it's going to be exciting. I'm going
to be
interested
to see how it goes in Boston, because Boston's quick.
But it's at the track.
It's at New Balance.
Oh, but so it's going to be slow. Well it's going to be different because it's latitude. It's not altitude. So it's going to be different type of race, I imagine, because it wasn't last year at altitude.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Was it really? I forgot about that.
Hobbs Tisler ran pretty fast there. I don't think that track's slow, but it's obviously not BU or Milrose.
But Hobbs Tisler didn't run at NCAAs. Right?
Yes. Correct. Okay. Let me check. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so then...
Did famously go pro at high school.
I'm trying to think how the NCAAs went indoors last time.
It's cool that NCAAs is at like a random track. Well, it's not a random track, but...
Last year it was the Dylan Jacobs show, wasn't it?
You're testing me here. It must have been his show because he became a big...
And the Masaudi. He won the 3K.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Dylan the 5K.
Oklahoma State.
Who won the mile? DMR.
Fuck, we're bad.
We have no idea, do we?
Some UW kid, I think.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, it was Hauser. No. It was the tall blonde one.
Yeah, he's fit, actually.
Joe Forskin?
But
that was great.
But, dude, yeah. I want to see. That's not even close to, like, Joe Waskin.
Joe Waskin?
I knew exactly who he was talking
about.
You knew
exactly what I meant, though. You knew exactly what I meant.
But it's, like, not even, like, close. It's just Joe.
You knew exactly what I meant. That's why nicknames are good, because it doesn't have to prime or, like, say, but you knew when I said
is
Joe Waskin.
Is he still in college? He is, right?
Yeah. I think he is, yeah.
And then they got Nathan Green.
I mean, the UW guys are notoriously just crushing the mile 1500 category in the NCAA, so it's going to be interesting to see how they turn up in Boston.
Yeah. Do we have any other predictions? I'm fine with just that.
I think I'm fine with that too.
I'm fine with admitting that I know nothing.
Paco Velby probably wins something, right?
Yeah, she's been cross training like 800 miles a week.
Back running for three days. She's good to go.
Ready to go.
So yeah, I feel like that's pretty much it for today. Do give a shout out to our other teammates that competed at World Indoors. Josette, I think she was she pretty happy, or how's she feeling? Like medium.
Medium.
Okay, medium,
came,
I think.
Her and Mario both came 11th. Mario was disappointed. Which is tough to see as a teammate, but we know he's got it in him to rebound for a big outdoors.
If you think about his world championship resume at the moment, it's like 4th and 6th at the outdoor championships. So that's...
He's setting the bar too high, isn't he?
He's setting the bar quite high. So like him not meddling at world indoors is going to be a disappointment regardless, I think. And, you know, he's a 329 guy. He's a freaking legend. So
yeah, they're all beasts.
They're all beasts. He'll be back stronger. I think he needs to watch more Gladiator.
Probably
Gladiator. I think that needs to come through.
We need Gladiator 2 to come out. Stat.
Yeah, yeah, that needs to come out. We need to push that production through so we can get ready for Paris. But yeah,
Mario will be he'll be invited to the like premiere.
Yeah,
like a Hollywood premiere.
I could see him just like super dressed up. I could see that happening.
Awesome. I'm surprised he doesn't do the like hand thing on the start line.
Yeah. Like, next time we have him on the show, let's ask him about the bowing, because I want to hear where that came from. Mm. I want to hear the story behind that, because he's really leaned in. He's
did he do that at the start of the race again?
Yeah.
I like
it. Heats in finals. Mm. Well, I noticed you bowed after the race.
I did. I think I did because Josh did after his race.
Did he? And Graham Blanks also bowed after his.
Yeah.
Who was he copying?
You should have done. Oh, Jordy, I just realized you should have done something that you fucking didn't do. The haka. Why the fuck didn't you do the haka?
Because Sam Tina wasn't there.
Yeah, but Tanner would have fucking videoed it and then put it all over social media going, oh my God, Jordy, unreal, epic, legendary. And then it's just you doing the haka.
I think Tanner had big FOMO, actually.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
I don't know why he didn't come. I'm going to bully him about it.
You should bully him about it.
Make sure he's there next time.
Yeah.
Don't miss out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, with that, I think that's it for episode. I didn't even say what number this is. I don't actually know. I think it's 126 or 127. One of those two.
Yeah.
127 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shout out.
What's that actor's name?
Joe Flacco?
No.
No, James Franco.
I think he's cancelled, though.
He's probably cancelled, yeah. Everyone in Hollywood's probably
cancelled. I don't like
canceled.
Him, much, eh?
I like Jonah Hill.
I like Dave Franco a lot.
But I think Jonah Hill's cancelled, too.
Oh, yeah, he did something.
Yeah. I like Jonah Hill, but I think. Okay, Seth Rogen, is he cancelled?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I like him.
Speaking of, guys, you got to go see Dune 2.
Yep.
Change your life.
Yeah.
I went into the movie with extremely high hopes, high expectations, knowing I was going to love it, and it absolutely delivered.
Yeah.
It's to me, it's like I grew up watching the Lord of the Rings a lot, and it like the Lord of the Rings is just, you know, one of the greatest movie trilogies of all time, based on a book.
Still holds up today too.
I probably never thought that I was like, I kind of always had this little thought in my brain, like, I wonder what it was like to be alive, like be a bit older than we were, and to like maybe have been into fantasy and read the books and then watching the movies as they came out. That must have been the most satisfying, enjoyable thing ever, and that's exactly how I would describe
Morgan was very satisfied at the movie theater because he had a large popcorn, finished it
whole thing.
Jordy, no, I had help from Jordy, you could see the bottom of the like, there was nothing there. There's not even a little like kernel. There's nothing. No, there
I ate all the kernels.
He ate everything.
Yeah, I did.
And I like remember getting up from the movie and like looking across, about a like I needed to pee really badly because I had a large
did you put
pepper.
Down a big gulp too?
No,
I had a large Dr. Pepper and a medium popcorn. I didn't even finish my medium popcorn. I finished my Dr. Pepper, but I got up, I needed to pee, I turn around, I see Morgan. Just nothing. He's like licked the bottom of this large, large popcorn. It was very impressive. But yes, please go see the movie. It was unreal.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that.
I haven't seen it, but I have a lot of Bachelor to catch up on in the next day or two. So
I heard there's been a bit of drama, George.
Next week, we'll have the George
update.
Bachelor recap for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I heard there's been drama.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. It's Bachelor night tonight.
Name of the game.
Well,
once again, huge congrats to our new world champion, Jordy B. There's something there.
Jordy B sounds like he's from Geordie Shore.
It's like Cardi
when you
B.
say that, he sounds like Jordy he's from
Geordie
Shore.
Jordy B.
Yeah. Our boy Jordy B. World champ over here. Thank you very much for everyone for listening to this episode of the pod. We look forward to seeing you all again next week. Bye-bye. Boys from Coffee Club.